morning, Greg.
Good morning, Kev. Well, that was Mark Harvey at his best. I'd forgotten when Harv's coach, talking in riddles. I don't know. I don't know what he was talking about either. But
are you happy with the way that we officiate the man on the mark?
Look, it's a tactic. I don't particularly like it either. Look, I think it.
What don't you like about it, Greg?
Oh, I just think it's a sort of a bit of a cheap shot. But it robs, you know, a player from up the field. I reckon coaches use it at their own peril.
Correct.
Look, I don't think it's a big deal, to be honest. But the question you say, is it a blight on the game? I don't think so.
Okay. Is it a blight on the game? 9-4-2-9-11-16. Of course, anyone can stand behind the man on the mark. I mean, even if someone's having a shot for goal, you could have, you know, the whole team of the opposition could be actually standing behind the man on the mark. So, therefore, if you're kicking the ball and there's a guy manning the mark, you can stand behind him, and then when the umpire calls play on, you can shepherd him in a gentle fashion. You can shepherd him. You can't knock him to the ground. You can't have any real physical force. I know Robbo today was talking about, you know, he shouldn't be picked off. Well, if he is picked off, then it's got to be a free kick.
And by your terminology of picked off is ironed out, cleaned up.
Well, force. Some physical force. You're not allowed. You can shepherd the person, but not in a physical manner. And if you shepherd that person in a physical manner or knock him to the ground, then a free kick is paid against the person who's doing the blocking, which is, you know, the man who's standing behind the man on the mark. So you can't do that. I mean, it's a tactic. It seems to come and go in the game. It seems to be coming back a little bit more this year than other years. It drifted away there, I reckon, for a period of time. But it does now seem that a number of clubs now are starting to go back to, you know, blocking that man. But you can block. Once play on is called, it's like anywhere on the ground. You can shepherd and you can block. But you can't take out that
within the rules. That's what you're saying.
Because it was deemed by the Laws of the Game Committee that this person on the mark was very, very vulnerable. He's focused by standing there as the man on the mark. And he was not to be blindsided in any shape or form or to be taken out in any physical manner. So I think all you can do with the laws of the game against any tactic is to protect the player. And it was deemed that the player standing on the mark needed a lot of protection because he's in a very vulnerable position and has to be protected. And I think the way that the rules are written, that it's fair to everyone. I mean, if you want to stand behind the man on the mark and be a man less further down the ground where the ball obviously is going to be going at some stage because you think it's an advantage, I mean, that's a tactic that the clubs can actually use. But as long as the person doesn't get crunched and is not physically attacked. So I understand where Mark is coming from. I suppose the other thing is, do people like to see it? Well, there's a lot of tactics in the game of football that clubs do that, you know, people don't like to see. Some people don't like the third man up. Some people don't like taggers. But, you know, they're legitimate tactics as long as they're applied within the rules of the game. I want to take some early calls on this and just judge what the fans like out there. Also, what else in the game would you like to see tweaked or improved in our game or taken out of our game? Because, obviously, Mark Robinson is very keen to see this taken out of the game. Daniel's on the road. G'day, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, Daniel. You?
I'm glad you brought it up, Kevin, because the man on the mark irks me at the moment. Not only the way he gets picked off, but also the man on the mark, the way they run around a particular middle. No one stands on the mark anymore. They move around on a 45-degree angle. The whole man on the mark thing has just been relaxed, I think. I don't like watching it, to be honest. No one sort of stands where the mark was taken. They get picked off. It needs to be looked at a bit closer, I think.
Okay. The one, Daniel, that I think is always got to be looked at is when someone gets a free kick, like, say, Eddie Betts, and I use him as an example, and the umpire is then talking to the player to go onto the mark, and the player's talking to the umpire, and he's trying to listen to what the umpire is telling him. The umpire's saying, come back here and stand on the mark. And as he's doing that, Eddie Betts takes off and kicks a goal.
Yeah.
Now, I think once the umpire says that he's actually going to line up the man on the mark, I think he's got to make certain that Eddie Betts and anyone else can't just play on.
Yeah,
I wonder what the fans think of that.
Are you happy with Daniel's obviously
concerned?
Once
he's set on the mark, and the umpire, you know, then signals time on,
okay,
you can play on. Then he can play on, but the player uses the umpire as the shield whilst he's talking to the player. Now, the player's listening to what the umpire is actually talking to him. So if the umpire's talking to him, I don't think then the umpire can then just say, oh, the guy's played on, so play on. Do you agree with that or not?
I totally agree. I think it's a very good point that you make up. I think what Daniel was saying as well was, you know, when players stand maybe on 45 degrees from where the mark was to prevent him running around on the angle, Daniel didn't like that. Now, I'm not so sure if that's... Oh, I think that's fair enough. I think you've got to protect the angle.
Well, as long as you're 5 metres away.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're 5 metres away. I think sometimes, though, Greg, that the umpires...
No, but that's the actual man on the mark can actually move in the arc as long as, you know, he hasn't gone over that.
Well, it's man on the mark is lined up to the centre of the goal square. Yeah. So you've got to draw a line to the centre of the goal square, and you can move across there like that, but you can't move forward. 9429 1116 if you'd like to join us. Ben's in South Morang. G'day, Ben.
Morning, boys.
G'day, mate.
I could feel this one coming. The commentators have been slowly commenting on it every now and then, and then when Robbo's story last night, I saw him like, give us a spell. It's a fair tactic. You're sacrificing a target. It just balances itself out. I know I'll back to Hawthorn, by the way. They're basically doing it as a rule.
Yep.
But they're not picking anyone off.
No.
And it's just it evens itself out. You're giving up a number down the field. It's just a plus one at the kicker, which means you're minus one either in another position where you're kicking the ball. So, yeah, it's fair enough.
I think it's a fair tactic. I think it's a fair tactic as long as it's umpired as a fair tactic. I know Mark is talking about people being picked off and crunched, but if that happens, therefore a free kick should be paid. One of the ones that I think we've got to give even a lot more attention to, Greg, is that when someone's having a shot and that player's on that angle that you're talking about, Greg, if you ever stepped out 5 metres, step out 5 metres, Greg. To me,
fair way,
the players are far too close to the guy who's kicking the ball.
Yep.
Sometimes, Greg, they're standing there and they're leaning over and their arm is nearly touching the player. Now, that's not 5 metres, Greg. 5 metres, you step out 5 metres. It's a reasonable distance to give that player who's kicking the ball the opportunity. So I think that's something we've got to look at. Russell Morris has joined us. G'day, Russell.
KB, I started umpiring last year.
Yes.
Right? And I've been umpiring amateurs. So you made a very good point. When a player takes, say, a mark, say, 30 metres out on the boundary, right?
Yep.
What the umpire's meant to do, this is what I learned, is you run in and you're going to put the player on the angle. But you don't stand next to the player on the mark because that's like a shield.
Yep, correct.
You've got to stand about a metre behind the player towards the goal, so then the player on the mark still has the option to take off if the kicker plays on. So if you get what I'm saying...
Yep, you've got to have that option. You've got to have that option. But I see too many times, Russell, and it's interesting how we can overcome it, but the umpire is calling the player back or to a particular mark on the ground where he wants him to stand, and he's in conversation with that player. And that player is abiding by what this umpire is telling him. And then all of a sudden, the man with the ball grabs the opportunity to play on. Now, I think under those circumstances, if the umpire's talking to the player, you can't play on.
Not in conversation, mate. He hasn't called time on. It's up to the player on the mark to listen to the umpire, but he's not turning his head saying, oh, yes, sir. The umpire's going, okay, I might just say, Kevin, or number 29, back a metre, please, back a metre. I can still listen to that and still focus on the player with the ball.
Yeah, and what you're saying, Fly, is that you've got to position yourself being the umpire a metre behind the guy on the mark so you don't impede him, but meanwhile, play's live.
That's right. So it's all common sense. And the umpires are doing a pretty good job at it. They try their best. And I've learned just doing juniors. Because in juniors, players play on all the time, mate. As soon as they get it, the kid wants to kick the goal. So you've got to run in. And you've got to watch the player on the mark. You've got to watch the player because if he takes off, you've got to be ready to call play on. But you can't be in a position to impede the player on the mark. You've got to be a metre behind him.
What about the guy blocking, the guy being the man standing behind the mark? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, look, the guy on the mark has every right to be on the mark, right? You can only block when you call play on, right? So when the player goes to, if the player takes off his line, walks off his line, you call play on. Then the opposition player can come in and block the bloke on the mark. You've got to wait for the call.
But not in a physical manner.
No, but if you call play on, it's open. But if the guy's having a shot for goal and he's not playing on, the guy on the mark has every right to stand his mark, that his teammate can't come in and block him out of the way unless you call play on. Once it's called play on, it's open slather. You can come in and knock him out and shepherd him away.
Well, good on you, Russell. It's good that you're actually umpiring in the amateurs. Do you enjoy umpiring?
Hey, I love it. I've been doing under-19s. It's funny with the under-19s umpiring. They're all 17, 18-year-old kids. And they all know each other because I do a lot of the amateurs at, you know, Old Scotch, Old Trinity, Old Marsland, and they all know each other. And they're all like young bulls all wanting to punch each other up. It's the funniest thing.
Good on you, Russell. Appreciate your call. We'll take a break. We're coming back. We'll take more of your calls. Greg Venom Denham has joined us.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Mazda, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
KB, he is scared to death that our Indigenous game is going to look like a hybrid game. He's really scared of our game looking like something else. A place kick. He would be happy for our game
to ruin it.
For everyone to stop, bring out the bucket of sand, put a little bit of sand there, stick the Sharon on top of that sand, go back. Kick a place kick.
He's an idiot. He's lost the plot.
If that is not gibberish of the highest order, I do not know what is. What the hell's going on?
No, I've lost.
Tim and Greg Denham on a Friday.
Do they drink on Fridays?
I think
KB must have had his first drink ever.
I would say.
Don't bring me into it, Kevin.
I would say that was Mark and the Ox on
they
the
should.
Home.
They should concentrate. I had nothing to do with that.
I think it's chilling and disturbing that Heckle and Jekyll are allowed to run off at the mouth. Someone has to control these two fools. Mitch, their producer, is letting the game down.
Rodney and Dangerfield is their names from now on. No idea.
Okay, well, of course you can catch Heckle and Jekyll and Run Home from 4 o'clock again tonight. David joins us in Surry Hills. G'day, David.
How you going, boys?
Good, mate. Well, I was before that. Why am I involved in that?
Because you know nothing about football, Greg. It's pretty simple.
Jesus, Dave. Turn
Sorry,
it up.
Mate. Well, you led with your chin and it just went bang.
Turn it up.
That's it. Hey, standing on the mark scenario, I agree. I went and saw the Hawthorn St Kilda game and I would have, like the guy a couple calls back, Hawthorn would have done it at least a dozen times.
Yep, at least, yep.
And with that sort of guarding off, what I don't like is that are we expecting the opposition now to have another player beside that guy trying to make sure he doesn't go into shepherd off as well? Because there's an unfair advantage of you can easily pick up 15 to 20 metres in getting forward, you know, carrying the ball. And you know what? The game's all about speed now and running with the ball and getting it forward as quickly as you can. Mm. I don't like the future look because clubs are going to have to work out how they're going to stop that player. Extra player coming in to do the shepherd off.
Well, it's a tactic, no doubt about that. You could bring up another player if you wanted to. If you thought it was a tactic that was harming your chances of actually winning the game, Hawthorn at the moment is doing that quite a lot. And one of the things they can do, of course, is as soon as they call play on, that the player can shepherd or block the guy on the mark, and then you can run off and gain a few metres. And then, of course, it means the guy who blocked originally can peel off and he can receive the hand pass and they can move the ball down the ground. But once the umpire calls play on, it's not against the rules of the game to block long as you're within 5 metres of the ball and it's in a manner that is not dangerous to the player. So, David, you don't like it, so we'll see if others agree with you. But at the moment, I think at least the player on the mark under the rules of the game is being protected. That's the most important thing, is being protected. After that, general tactics of the game, well, I think that's the rub of the green. Dave is from Carrum. Dave, good morning.
Yeah, morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
That's good. You're all legends except for Heckle and Jekyll, of course.
Oh, Heckle and Jekyll.
They need to be seriously looked at.
Seriously looked at by management, I would suggest.
Mr. 98%, especially.
Oh, yes. Has the Ox addressed the fact that Rory Sloane's not coming to St Kilda? Remember that he did his whole show one day on Rory Sloane going to St Kilda. It's not happening. You know that, Greg, don't you? It's not happening. Continue on, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to bring up the point, kicking backwards in the back line.
Yes.
Why don't we make the game a lot better than what it is and make it like an offside rule or something like that?
So it's not. So you don't like anyone kicking backwards at all, or just the mark's not allowed to be paid if it's kicked backwards?
The mark shouldn't be allowed paid if it's kicked backwards.
Okay, so no mark allowed to be paid if you kick the ball backwards. I think that was trialled in the NAB Cup several years ago, but a lot of people do like it, Greg, that if you do kick it backwards, you can take the mark, but it's not paid.
If you've got the ability to run down the clock, to waste a little bit of time, and it's a tactic, if you're well ahead or you want to slow down possession or it's coming to the end of a quarter, you want to give your teammates a bit of a break, it's just a tactic that is within the in the rules. And if it doesn't come off and you make an error and lose the goal over it, well, that's bad luck. It's exactly the same as all these other tactics we've been talking about today. They don't always come off. I think, personally, just leave it alone because you don't have to do it. But if a team allows you to do it, if their defensive Correct. Play is not good enough to cover those men, well, then that is their fault.
I agree with that. I'm not concerned about people kicking backwards and Mark being paid because I agree with you, Greg, that it's up to the opposition to actually get someone standing beside those people to put pressure on them rather than, you know, building a wall further up the ground. But if you're happy to do that, I don't think it's your responsibility as a side with the ball that you shouldn't be allowed to kick the ball where you want to kick it.
You can kick it wherever you want and except out of bounds.
If it goes 15 metres and you mark it on the full, then it's a mark.
Yep.
Michael's on the road. G'day, Michael. G'day, Michael.
How are you?
Good, thanks, Michael. You want to talk about the man on the mark? Happy with it?
Just a couple. And on one point you made earlier with the player talking to the umpire and the opposition player running off.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you saw it, but... it was a highlight of one of Stevie Motlop's goals over the weekend. And he marked the ball and took off while the opposition player was talking to the umpire, and the umpire called play on. Mm. And he had no chance of getting to the player at all. So I think that sort of situation needs to be looked at definitely.
Okay, so we give that one a tick, look at that?
Yeah, definitely. And also the man on the mark with the shepherding, it can be a little bit dangerous. I coach under-19s football, and I've seen it a couple of times. And a couple of weeks ago, one of the players got absolutely crunched. Mm. And I personally think that it should be a standstill block, arms out, and you give the opportunity of the person on the mark not to be on the ground and having to get up, but actually be able to get past the player and beat him one-on-one.
Well, if he got crunched, Michael, then that should have been a free kick against the blocker. I've got a feeling when this first came in, I reckon it was SEN's very own Nick Maxwell who crunched a couple of players standing on the mark, came in very aggressively and took them out. And it was from that that discussion took place at the Laws of the Game, saying, well, these guys can't be just picked off. They've got to be protected. And then that's when it was changed, that you can block, but you can't block with any force. You can't knock the player to the ground. You can't hit him with any force. So once we call play on, I think all you can do is protect the player so that he's not a sitting duck and certainly that he's not blindsided. Still to come, of course, this hour, Greg Denham's match committee. Who should come in for your side or who should go out for your side? It's round 11 of football. Greg is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. And, of course, the big news is that the food is so popular. Upstairs is also open for dinner with private dining rooms available. Now, don't forget the cosy open fireplaces and all the footy on four big screens. They started with one, they had two, now three, now it's four. Experience real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 6895. Coming back with your calls, 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
I'd hope the North Melbourne fans respect Adam Goods. He's a champion of our game, and I'd like to think that our supporters have a bit more class than booing one of the champions of the game. So hopefully the North fans appreciate that he's a good player and go about supporting our footy club the way that we know that they should support our footy club, being nice and boisterous when we kick goals and all that sort of thing. But yeah, probably no booing, hopefully.
Jack Zeeble asking the North Melbourne fans not to boo Adam Goods on Saturday night. So if you're a North Melbourne fan, are you going to take notice of your crack midfielder, Jack Zeeble? If you have been someone who's booed Adam Goods in the past, are you going to make certain you don't do it? Jack Zeeble there just pleading really for North Melbourne fans to just go to the game and not be part of this booing that takes place with Adam Goods.
It is a massive game Saturday night at Etihad Stadium, Kev, between North and Sydney. And Courtney Walsh in The Australian today rightly points out that, you know, North last year beat all the good teams, Port, Sydney, Freo, Hawthorn, Geelong. But this year, they haven't been able to quite cut it. And big losses against Hawthorn, 60 points, Fremantle, 73 points, Adelaide, 77 points. And they're in a bit of strife, you know, if they don't win this week. They're 12th at the moment with a percentage of 91.6, which is 20 below 8th place Richmond. So Are they the real deal? Jury's out. I mean, they need to win this week. They need to prove a point against a good team.
Greg, notice today Johnny off the buzz, who will join us from 11 o'clock, he's got how Carlisle can reboot his career. He's quoting Barry Hall here, saying that he'd be very good for the Dogs. His name has been mentioned with the Bulldogs, Carlisle. We had some information that he was meeting with James Hurd and other Essendon officials. I think they were going to go down to Crown. I think that's been mentioned today in the article, to have a chat to Carlisle. I want to ask Essendon fans, how important is Jake Carlisle to the future of the Essendon Football Club? Do you regard him as being a good player? Do you regard him as being an important player for the Essendon Football Club? Because it does seem that maybe there is some chance, because at this stage he won't make a decision on his future with the Essendon Football Club. And obviously they're a little bit concerned about what is happening with Jake Carlisle. Some people suggest, as Terry Wallace suggested the other day on Weekend Siren on this program, that he's a defender and he's not a forward. And a lot of these clubs will be going to Carlisle, such as the Bulldogs, and others will say, you know what, we think that you're the best centre-half back in the competition. You could be the All-Australian centre-half back. This is where we want to play you. Essendon can't do that. They've got Hurley, who's a crack centre-half back. They've got Hooker down there as well. And they'll be using that to prize Carlisle away from Windy Hill. But well, I want to know what Essendon fans think of Carlisle. Is he an important player for your club?
That's why we have a trade period. Look, my understanding is that he had dinner with James Hurd and Adrian Dodoro, which is not unusual for players out of contract to go and talk and get a bit of feedback from those in charge. I think the Bombers would take umbrage from the fact that, I think, and I'd like you to ask Ralphie that made a statement today that Carlisle's not enjoying his football at the moment, particularly as a forward.
Well, he must have got told that by someone.
Well, I don't know, obviously, but I think that Essendon would I think they deny that, and they say pretty much that he's still learning the caper as a forward. But I think that they were very comfortable, the Essendon Footy Club, my understanding is, with the tone of the meeting.
All of his best games have been really played down back. He's had one...
No, that's not right.
He had one breakout game, I reckon. The game at Etihad Stadium.
Yeah, that was... he kicked eight goals, okay? But he's had other games.
Who was it against? I can't recall.
Last year,
Brisbane or someone like that?
Yeah, well, I can't remember either, but I mean...
But that was one breakout game since then.
It's not his only form that he's shown as a forward, Kevin. But I mean, you know, I mean, if Essendon
has he had many good games as a forward,
you can't as a player
to,
put it this way, you can't
back.
Go to your coach at any footy club and say, "I'm not playing there. I do not like it." Well,
Don't know whether he's done that. I think he's tried to do his best by playing.
Well, I would hope he hasn't done that.
But wasn't he originally, when James Hurd was coaching the club in the first place? He was down back. He was centre half back.
Yeah,
and then
Hurley was forward.
Occasionally, he was a swing man when they struggled on the forward line. Yep. Got thrown down there, took a couple of marks and kicked
the goal. This week we'll see him, because Bell Chambers won't play. He won't go to Western Australia.
So is he a ruckman now?
He will be a ruckman pretty much this week. Yes.
Okay. Well, we ask Essendon fans that: should he be played in the ruck rather than played as a forward? Maybe there's a new career as a ruckman, because when Mark Bomber Thompson took over coaching the Bombers, he was adamant that he wanted Carlisle to be a forward and make him into a forward, whereas originally, I reckon James Hurd had him down back, because he had Carlisle at centre-half back. And that's when he had that cracking first half of the season, and Hurley was on the forward line.
Yep.
So Essendon fans have got to tell us, should he be tried as a ruckman instead of Bell Chambers, or should he be played down back? Because if not,
so where are you gonna
other clubs
where
are
going to
try and prize him out of
there. Where are you going to play hooker and...
Hurley.
And Hurley.
Well, Hurley could play centre-half forward.
Well... No.
And Carlisle could play centre-half.
So you don't have one player dictating four other positions on the game.
I mean, anyway,
I think you'll find this week that him and Danaher will share the ruck. Ambrose will help out a little bit. But I think they'll go to Perth without Bell Chambers, who's run out of credits.
Where's Big Giles? Is he sort of not on the radar?
Look, he might. Probably not this week.
Johnny's in Blackburn. G'day, John.
Good morning, boys. Just one thing. If Jake Carlisle, if he's going to be having lunch with Hurdy today or whatever they're going to do, meet together.
They've done it, I think.
Yesterday, we believe.
So what,
on Tuesday.
I don't really know what happened, but hopefully that Hurdy didn't mess with his head too much, because he's just a guy I've noticed, right? He's sort of down in the dumps when he shifts it around too much. When he's up. Hang on a minute, mate. Listen.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Listen, all right? Now, when he's up in the forward line, right, it seems to me that
he's more of in control of it, and a more happier person coming out of the back line. So if you want to keep him, just leave him in that position, and you get your money's worth. All right. So you're happy, guys.
Well, so the players are running the show down there, are they?
No. But don't forget, today in the Herald Sun, or I think Cam Mooney writes for the Geelong Addy, he's actually called Carlisle a sook.
Well, he might be.
He said his body. This is what John was saying. The news started to knock him for it. He's agreeing with what you were. You're knocking him. Cam Mooney says Carlisle's body language is horrible, and that's what John said. And then you went,
yeah. Well, since when do players run the show?
No, but he was saying his body language is horrible.
Well, then go and play seconds then. See how good your body language is then.
No, but the point is, Greg,
kick the Jew, Kev.
Another club will say, well, we'll improve your body language because we're going to play you in a position where you're going to play well.
Well, if you want to be like that, you're better off out of the joint anyway then,
Andrew,
if that's your attitude to playing footy.
Andrew's in Nidri. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Look, cheers.
I think that there's a few issues going on here. One is that Jake's mobility, he's had knee problems he's had? Is it he's had some problems?
Look, he did have a pre-season. Was it? It may well have been knee, Andy. Yeah. He had a sluggish start to the pre-season. I know, and that could be another factor why he hasn't been wound up yet too. Because I think from memory he had. I mean, no one had much match practice, but I think that he had problems for 6 weeks after Christmas. Kev, does that ring a bell with you?
Yes. Look, need Essendon fans to confirm.
Could have been
that.
Knee, Andy. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
And also, Fletcher will be retiring within the next 24 months, you think? Hopefully.
Within the next 12 years, I reckon he'll retire anyway.
But there's a spot there for Carlisle to move back into once Fletcher retires.
On his say-so, or?
No. Look, I'll go back to when Essendon had great sides with the Danahers and the Vanderhaals and... good sides have mobile big men. They can go forward and back. He needs to learn to play both positions. And Essendon will never be a top side again until they get players who can play and be versatile enough to go forward and back.
Look, I don't know whether he can play on the sort of players that Dustin Fletcher plays on. Dustin's got the ability to play on smaller players, medium size, and also tall throughout his career. I do like this one saying Carlisle could go to the Tigers. If Rance leaves, then the Tigers might be interested in Carlisle. He's going to be hot property, Greg. Hot property because most people think, apart from the Bombers, most people think that what they've seen from Jake Carlisle is that he's a better defender than what he is as a forward.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. But if he's playing for the Essendon Football Club, there's only one bloke that tells him where to play, and that's the coach.
No, that's true. But he'll play there, Greg, but what Essendon people would say is that he doesn't play there successfully. You can keep playing in there all year if you like, but if he can't kick you a goal and he doesn't become a good player there, then they'll say, well, what's the point of playing him on the forward line? Others then will come and say, we'll play you on the back line where we believe that you can be a star.
Yeah, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday's selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, what changes would you like to see in your club's side come this weekend? You be the chairman of the match committee. What would you like to see happen to your side to run out this weekend in the big round of AFL matches? Greg?
Well, for the Pies, Witches are certainly to come back.
Witches?
In the ruck. He'll play for sure. Taylor Adams, look, we think he'll play. If he's fit, he'll play. He had that toe injury, didn't play last week.
Is that turf toe, is it?
No, not as bad. 50-50. Look, if he trains, gets through training tomorrow, he'll play, but... the big bopper, we might have to get hold of him tomorrow afternoon. But if he's fit, he'll play. Not sure if he's quite fit enough. Dom Tyson's are certainly to come back for the D's too. That's good news for him because he broke down after round 7, played very well on the VFL last week. So he'll be back for the D's.
I do notice that Port Adelaide, their Twitter account, have notified everyone this morning that Trent Govan-Ryder will not be selected for their game against the Cats tomorrow night.
I didn't now, think Trent Gove would with his ankle, but gee whiz, this is 3 weeks now for Paddy Ryder with his Achilles. That's a little bit serious now. That's not good.
That would certainly give Geelong a chance of knocking off Port Adelaide.
Yep, a better chance.
Played over there.
Yep, better chance, yeah. Jack Darling's also interesting, West Coast. One game back for East Perth in the waffle, kick five, and he's straight back in. So hasn't played a game for a long time, Kev.
They may need his accuracy, Greg.
They may need something.
But for him to come back into their side after they've done so well, that's a huge fillip for
Well, he's
West
a
Coast
good player.
He can be a star.
He is a star, but I just thought maybe one game might be a little bit too quick.
Can I just go a little bit left field in terms of selections? Joey Pignataro, of course, the chosen one, has been starring with St Bernard's in the Amateurs. Right. He plays for the thirds, and I've had my scouts out there, and he's been absolutely starring for St Bernard's.
Mm.
For some reason, the coach of the reserves has got a set against him and won't elevate him up into the twos.
Right.
And the coach of the seniors is frightened to elevate him straight from the thirds into the seniors, where he's good enough to play in the seniors. And I'd like to just challenge the match committee down there at St Bernard's to give, you know, Joey Pignataro a chance. He's a goal kicker. He's a goal sneak. He reminds me, Eddie Betts is the sort of player that I sort of look at Joey, the way that he plays, and that's what he can bring. And if he's ever chosen to play in the seniors at St Bernard's, I personally will turn up and I'll hand over his jumper. His number is 29. I'll hand over his number 29 jumper to Joey Pignataro, my producer. So I'm challenging St Bernard's to just open up your eyes a little bit, have a look down through the list, and what about giving Joey a chance to play senior football at St Bernard's?
You're delusional.
Kevin is in Narre Warren. G'day, Kev.
G'day, boys. How are you today?
Good,
Kev.
That's the way. Just wanted to touch on the Jake Carlisle issue. Yes. I'm not an Essendon fan, but I think it really comes back to the old adage of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And in the case of Essendon, obviously they're making the conscious decision that having him playing up forward for the team structure at that point in time, whether it be a personnel thing for what they've got to put in other areas, is obviously a better outcome for them than having him down back and ultimately playing a better personal game for himself. Also, just in relation to, sides for this weekend, as you said before, Jack Darling coming into to the Eagles is a great addition. I'd also like to see Dom Sheed and Liam Duggan get pretty much full games, as opposed to really being played as interchange or red shirters.
Yeah, Liam Duggan's done very well. He's only a young
star.
He was in that under-16 side coached by Dougie Hawkins when he was coaching that side that won the premiership.
Well,
in fact, Doug had three players from that under-16 side actually got drafted by AFL clubs.
Yeah, well, in that same game, Kev, Joe Watson will come back too, which is good for the Bombers, and Saharakis, who hasn't been around for a while, will probably make the trip west as well.
As we go to the break, and we'll come back, we'll take more of your calls. Bone Crusher has passed away at 33 years of age, the great horse. In fact, they had to euthanise Bone Crusher, 33 years of age, but he contracted laminitis, which is a hoof disease, and that has caused the death of a lot of champions. Kingston Town and Sunline, a couple of horses that come to my mind straight away that suffered from laminitis. So at 33 years of age, one of New Zealand's most successful horses, Greg, and there was a period of time in Bone Crusher's career when he won seven consecutive races, and he won races like the New Zealand Derby, Air New Zealand Stakes, the Tancred Stakes, the AJC Derby, and then, of course, he won five races, including four Australian Group 1s, being the Underwood Stakes, the Caulfield Stakes, the Cox Plate, and the Australian Cup. And he ran those great races where he came virtually from last.
Well, let's have a listen to his greatest.
But the two great New Zealanders have come away on the turn. Our Waverley Star, a half-length Bone Crusher. The big red won't give in. Drought running on. Bone Crusher responds to the whip. The roars of the crowd. He races up to our Waverley Star. 100 out. Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star. Stride for stride. Nothing in it. Our Waverley Star, the rails. Bone Crusher, the outside. And Bone Crusher races into equine immortality.
Coming up, Nigel Purchase is going to join us, and we'll have a good chat about Matthew Dellavedova. So if you'd like to join us, 9429 1116, to talk basketball. Of course, the big news is down at the Spritty. They've got the food is so popular upstairs. It's also open for dinner with the private dining rooms available. Got the open fireplace over the big weekend coming up. Four big screens, Spread Eagle Hotel, 9428 6895. Anthony Rock coaches St Bernard's senior side. I've just been told off the message bank. Come on, Rocky. Make a big decision. Get the little dynamo. Get Joey Pignataro into the seniors. He's the Eddie Betts of the competition.
Vote one, Joe.
Do yourself a favour.
See you tomorrow.
Let's go, Joe.